This morning's reading is taken from various chapters in Proverbs. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is destroyed. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. Like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. This is the word of the Lord.
I was somewhat dismayed when I saw that this was a topic on which I had to speak. Have we got the first slide up yet, sir? Margaret, have we got the first slide up? Now, if you were listening to Sally's prayers and you took them to heart, you won't need to hear anything that I say this morning. Okay. So the subject, you see, Proverbs. The subtitle of the book is Wisdom for the Whole of Life. And session five, which is this one, A Way to Speak. Now, when the email came through telling me what the subject was, there was no space between A and Away. A Way to Speak. I thought, well, I'll go away somewhere and that'll be it. But unfortunately, no, I've got to stay here and I've got to speak. Now, we all talk, don't we? We have done for years. And some, of course, have got a regional accent. And some of us are able to use a language other than English. We all have a way to speak. And some of us are better at it than others. But no matter, it's what we do when we see someone that we want to talk to. It's what we do, isn't it? Or we want to find a way, or want a cup of tea. We all have a way to speak. So why does the book of Proverbs think it's important to look at the things we say and how we say them? Now, our parents waited with expectation to hear our first spoken word, most likely Mama or Dada. And once spoken, it got reported around the family. She said her first word. And interesting, the first word we ever spoke was to do with forming a relationship with our parents. Over subsequent months, new words were added, like words like Teddy, tree, bird, dog, cat, and we were beginning to enlarge our relationship with the things that we saw around us. especially when it came to food. More! More! And then we began to learn words which set boundaries. No! Bad! Or encouragement. Yes! Then as time went on, we sometimes invented words. My brother and I had a word which we used at bath time. And when we washed in the bath, we told each other we were having an abrical rinse. And it's a word which isn't found in the dictionary, obviously, but there we are. And when you look around, people have invented words. Do you remember Mary Poppins? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Now, can you say that? Yes. Yeah, good, yes. And people go on inventing words. If you go to Great Missenden, you'll find the Roald Dahl Museum. On the front of the building, in big letters, are the words, "It is truly swizz-fibblingly." And there's another word we came across in a crossword puzzle last week, zugzang. And that is in the dictionary, and it's a technical term for one of the more obscure moves in the game of chess. Now, the section of Proverbs that we're looking at, or I should say the sections, because there's four of them, it looks at ways in which words can be used. And the handbook that goes with this study has this subtitle, Wisdom for the Whole of Life. And as we look at this section on our way to speak, there are hints to us suggesting that there are things that we might look out for in our own conversations. Because while for the most part words convey truth, that isn't always the case. They can be used to create mayhem. And who among us has not at some stage fallen victim to a scam where words have been used to create mischief? As our vocabulary grows, we begin to have the tools which help us to become part of our family. And as time goes on, we begin to come integrated into society through school life, through clubs and societies that we belong to. And this just goes on and on. I've lost a page here somewhere. Blame the printer, it's stuck them together. Here we are. And so our conversation develops until we reach maturity and hopefully become responsible members of society. And the contribution our conversation makes gradually becomes more and more important. And what we say can begin to influence society. As we read in Proverbs 11, verse 11, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. So there's hope for Buckingham yet. So we're truly blessed when good, upright people are in charge. And Proverbs waxes lyrical even more in chapter 10 and verses 20 to 21. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the lips of the righteous nourish many. So what he is saying is that a good word, a wise word, in the right place can really uplift, encourage, and cheer up everyone who hears it, and may even set in motion a course of events which blesses the whole community, the whole village, the whole town, or even the nation. What we say can be a tremendous blessing. We communicate, we explain, we encourage, and we fortify those who hear us, and we can impart some great common sense and wisdom into some quite tricky situations. People's lives are enhanced, and people feel better because of the wisdom that we have imparted. The things that we say also tell us a lot about ourselves, partly because they are a way of reflecting our mood. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is Sally's prayers all over again, isn't it? That they all show up when we talk with people, and you recognize all these attributes as the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5. If we're in a good mood, these things will show up in our conversation, and they're infectious, and other people around us start to feel good too. But if we're feeling hard done by, resentful and envious and mischievous and jealous, these things will also show up in our speech. And people around us will become wary about what we might do next. And so Proverbs also tells us in 26 and 21, as charcoal to embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. If we are in a bad mood, our conversation will tend to create anxiety. And even more worrying is the follow-on to our earlier quote from chapter 11. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. So what we say probably reflects how we're feeling. If we're feeling good, then our speech will rest comfortably with others. If we're having an off day, then other people will pick up on this. And that's especially so if we react with anger. How can we control anger? That's a tough one, isn't it? With difficulty, yes. One suggestion I heard years ago was that if you feel anger coming on, count up to 10 before you lose your rag. In other words, if somebody angers you, don't react to it immediately. Walk away. Sleep on it. And the chances are you'll come up with a more sensible and measured response later on. Well, so far we've looked at how we use our words in conversation, how they reflect us as people. They reflect our sense of security and our moods, and we're in control of what we say. Unfortunately, as Proverbs goes on to explain, it's more complicated than that. There are those in their conversation who use that conversation to make a quick buck or exert a controlling influence, and who don't care about the negative effect that that's having on the people around them. There are smooth words which turn out to be lies and scams. There are mischievous words which mislead and stir up trouble. And of course, some people set out to be controversial, and sometimes that can be good, because then we can argue the case back and forth until a consensus is found which is beneficial to all parties. But we have to be a bit careful, because if somebody has doctored the facts, you can make a decision on false information. Take those phone calls which tell you that somebody has tried to take lots of money out of your bank account. Usually when I check with the bank on a different phone line, I find that the whole thing has been a scam. And then, of course, there are those notices in hospitals and doctor's surgeries. Abuse will not be tolerated. Very sad notices, really, because they reflect the short fuse that many of us are on. The least little thing, and because we have been inconvenienced, we fly off the handle. And often the recipient of the abuse has only been doing the best they can to help. Somehow, a lot of people have not got the patience to wait. But then again, if it's the doctor you're phoning, the wait can be very, very long, can't it? I was 16th in the queue, 20th in the queue sometimes. It can be a very long, can be very trying. But the problem is made worse rather than better by losing one's rag when you do get an answer. Several of the Proverbs we read today are reflected by some of the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. So don't switch your light off when things get difficult. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Woo, that's a tough one. If you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And so in Proverbs we find derision poured on those who deliberately stir up trouble. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbour and says, I was only joking. Find people like that, don't you? As charcoal and to embers and wood to the fire, as a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. But side by side with derision, we also find him praising those who act with wisdom and restraint. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. One of the features of society today is that we've forgotten about patience and we've forgotten about forgiveness. We need justice, yes, but we can do without pursuing retribution. So when we're dealing with sensitive situations, we need great wisdom, sometimes great restraint, and we need to be careful with our response. Proverbs explains, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. And Jesus would say, well, love your enemies. These are tough words, but they go a long way towards keeping the peace, or even creating the peace. Whilst we're on the theme of holding our tongues under restraint, Proverbs also points out that gossip can open up some disastrous situations. Confidentiality is the key. If you hear something juicy about someone, it's ever so tempting to pass it on. And we never stop to think that what we might have heard might not be true. Whoever derides his neighbour has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Of course, there are times when we say something that we regret. And the frustrating thing is that once said, it cannot be unsaid. And if it affects another person, we need to put it right at once. But sometimes, with the best will in the world, you cannot put it right. I remember 40 or 50 years ago, I said something to somebody which I have regretted for the rest of my life, but I have not seen that person being able to put it right. So what can I do? Rather than wallow in guilt, why not take it to the Lord and lay it all before him? And although the words may still hang in your head, and you may hang your head in shame, you can also have the assurance that God in heaven has forgiven you, and you don't need to punish yourself. But if you do bump into that other person, you might get the chance to put it right. A way to speak. How can we sum up what we have been looking at today? We've seen a number of proverbs, and we've briefly looked at Jesus' teaching. And you might be tempted to think that the safest way forward is to give up all forms of conversation, because as from today, it appears to be like a minefield. But that would be a little bit unhealthy. We need to talk, and we need to do a lot of talking if we're to win people for Christ. However, there is a key to healthy conversation, which, as Sally has pointed out, is in 1 Corinthians 13. And in a way, it sums up everything we have seen in Proverbs, and it even sums up our Lord's teaching. If I speak with the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonour others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So if we are looking for a way to speak, then these words perhaps will help our conversation to be wholesome. Just one final thought. Paul writes, now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.